Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Saved Not Sauce. We back at it. So sorry that last week was a complete miss. God just wasn't letting it happen. Lord knows that I needed to rest and take some off time to just regroup, pull myself together. I'm recovering being sick right now, and God's just been moving in amazing ways, but I'm so excited and glad to be back here with you guys. I'm gonna get a little more comfy right now, put my feet up just a little more. But today I am so excited, as I always am, because one, I'm just back. I missed y'all. It's been 3 weeks instead of two, and that's kind of too long. I'm not gonna do that again, or I'm gonna try my best not to do it again. But God has been so faithful, and I really do believe that his faithfulness is going to continuously be shown, especially through this episode. So if you're new here, welcome. My name is Emmy. I'm the host of Saved Not Soft. The goal of this podcast is for you to know that you are heard, seen, and loved by Christ, and this is not a soft journey. Girlie, this is hard. How do you navigate the Christian lifestyle? What does that look like when you're saying yes to Jesus? It's not always sunshines and rainbows. Sometimes you're going to go through storms. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. And this podcast is supposed to help you, give you applications of how to go through the storm, how to go through the fire, and also how to appreciate the sunny days. And today, I'm eager to speak to all of you guys, because this episode, I'm gonna give a testimonial of one of my most embarrassing stories of all time, especially when it pertains to ministry. And am I excited? Yes. To tell the story, maybe not so much. Before we get into it, I'd love to open up a prayer and just invite God into our presence. Like, literally, God, come near us, please. We want to be near you. Let us just become intimate. So yeah, let's just invite God into this room, whether if you're at the gym, in your car, taking a walk, or if you're in the comfort of your own home. Let's invite God into this conversation. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your name. I come in the name of the resurrected Jesus and just proclaim that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're here today, that it is a divine appointment, that we are listening to your word, that we are intentionally inclining our ear to hear your voice. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your son, that you sent him for the atonement of our sins. God, take away all preconceived ideas or notions of what your character is or who you are. We just sacrifice all things at the altar, every distraction, every thought that doesn't glorify you, anything that is coming between your word and us receiving it. I just rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus, and I send it to the pits of hell by the blood of the Lamb. Father God, we just ask that you come here today, that everything that comes out of my mouth is out of your will. Father God, that you just use my tongue as a vessel of your character, of your mercy, of your strength, and most of all, of your power. I ask that you sharpen my tongue, that you give me the confidence to speak. And Lord, I just sacrifice this platform under your hands, under your wings, Jesus. This is your platform, not mine. Let your presence be made known. This is not a podcast for self-gain. This is a podcast where we come to learn. We come to see you. We come to lock eyes with you. And we are eager and excited to know that you're going to show up here today and forevermore when we call out on your name. So Jesus, God, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Holy Spirit, we ask that you make a work today. Scripture says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. God, we are just asking that you show up today and you speak in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. And Jesus, be close and near and be gentle to our spirits. In Jesus' mighty name, I cover and seal this prayer by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I bet y'all are like, what story is she gonna say? I don't know if I've said it on this podcast before, but you know, we're going to find out if you guys, I don't think I've said this, because I hate's a strong word. I strongly dislike telling the story, because this is like a ministry no-no. I was acting so prideful. Like, I'm going to just say it off the bat. Like, I was a new Christian. I thought I was in my bag. I thought I was, you know, doing all the things I needed to do in the first year of me being saved. And I got way too cocky. And this is the unraveling story of God humbling the dog crap out of me. And why this is going to go into the lesson God has put on my heart today, we'll get into that later. But I first want to open up with the story of, I got saved 3 years ago. I found Christ the year before that. So it's been about 4 years of like knowing Christ. But 3 years, it will be 3 years on April 3rd. It will be 3 years of being a solid Christian, a sworn in Christian, if you will, since I've been baptized, right? And this was about a few months after I got baptized. So probably about 2.5 years ago, I went to Nashville with a few of my friends and they were having a winter camp for FCA. And they asked me if I wanted to help lead and just be a part of everything. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And it was all my really good friends. So it wasn't like a weird experience for me to go with them because I already was friends with them prior. So I fly to Nashville, we go to this FCA camp, and I was one of the leaders, small group leaders, I guess, to where I would just help the group kind of carry the conversation, etc. Well, at the end of this FCA camp, the people who were there had the opportunity to go up on stage and share something that God put on their heart. So I'm sitting in my seat and I'm like, well, God told me many things this week. And already at this point, God has made it clear to me that he wanted me, mission-wise, he wanted to use me as a light in his kingdom to speak truth and to spread positivity and to be an advocate for him on the behalf of women, right? And so I'm knowing this, knowing that God is going to use me for cool things. And the leader or they weren't pastors, but the people who were orchestrating the camp said, if anyone has anything from the Lord that they want to share, just come on up and just share what you want to share. And I'm just plotting out in my brain what I'm about to say as I go up there. And I'm like, yeah, bet, got it. My communication is on 10, like we're up there, right? And so I go up the staircase and then I go up and I get the mic. And I said something like so basic. I was like, God is good all the time. And everyone's like, yeah. And then the thing that I had planned out to say, I then went, ah. Like I stuttered, like nothing came out of my mouth. Girl, what? I went up there and I literally froze and I was like, ah. And then to make matters worse, I start to ramble. I start to be like, well, I don't know what's going on. I came up here and then now I don't know what I'm going to say. Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. Why did I come up here if I don't know what I'm going to say? Oh, sorry, y'all. Hey, hope you're doing good. Oh my gosh, there's so many people in here. I start rambling, y'all. It was so embarrassing. My friends that were there with me were just looking at me like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. I bet they got so icked out by me. I know they did. But it was just one of those things of, man, I got so embarrassed on that stage because I went up on that stage so worried about looking good and saying the right thing that when I went up there, the Lord did not honor that whatsoever. So I'm going back to my seat and I'm walking down the staircase and I'm mad as heck. And I'm like, God, the enemy, he took away my word and the enemy didn't want me to say what you put on my heart. And that's why I wasn't able to go up there and say what you needed to say. And as soon as I get back to my seat and I sit down, I felt the heavy presence of the Lord come upon me and say, I didn't honor what you just did because you left me at your seat. Jesus. And instantly, Holy Spirit convicted me. And I realized that I needed a lot of refinement in that moment. And I realized that I was a lot more prideful than I thought I was. Here's the thing about God. If you don't humble yourself, he will humble you. And the Lord for sure humbled me in that situation. I went up on that stage ready to say a word, not for the sake of Jesus, but for the sake for me to feel good. This is me being self-admitted. 2.5 years ago, God gave me a calling. I got way too excited. And I didn't know this at the time, but one of the worst things that the enemy could do is give you a platform too early. And the platform was given, and I bit the bait, and I went up there without God. And side note, one of the biggest attacks that the enemy could do on your calling is give you a platform too early. It might be God's provision for some of you guys who are trying to become TikTok famous or ministers on Instagram or Instagram Reels or whatever it may be. It may be God's provision and protection that you are not reaching millions of people because there is still refinement he needs to do within your heart. That has nothing to do, well, kind of, with the message that we're doing today. But I was given a platform way too early. I bit on that mug and I went up there and said stuff that was not okay. Well, I didn't really say anything at all. I rambled, but I went up with the wrong heart posture. And God told me in that very moment, I need to strengthen you. We need to purify some things. And Emmy, you need to check your heart. Why do I bring up this story? I bring up the story because the Lord wants to urge his children to check their hearts. And the repercussions of what I faced was because I failed to do a heart check. I failed to look at my grimy little heart, look at all the crevices and the cracks of it. And I failed to notice the prideful inclinations that were happening with inside of me that the purpose of the gospel couldn't be fully preached because of my inability to check my heart. And I would like to say that moment scarred me, as anyone would. I went up there, I acted like a fool. And since that moment, I had a real moment with Jesus. And I told God, I said, God, I never one want to be put in that position again. And two, I never want to dishonor you like that. Because it wasn't necessarily me going up there with the prideful intention made me look bad. Like, yeah, I got humiliated and I'm embarrassed. But more importantly, God, I disappointed you, and I never want to do that again. I never want to go on a stage, or I never want to pick up a mic if my heart is not in the right place. And God said, okay, bet. So he brought the fire like no other, and God had to teach me how to humble myself, how to check my own heart, and God graced me. When I say God is so good that I went up there with the wrong intention, and I said a whole lot of nothing, that God still blessed me and graced me with the platform that I have today of this podcast. Y'all, God is so good. He should have left me in the dang dirt for going up with an intention like that. But yet, God is still so good, and he washes my feet and he gives me what I do not deserve, because if God could do it for me, he could do it for anybody else. So I want to encourage y'all today. I've been through it. And God has instructed me to tell you guys how to be purified. What does that look like? We cry out to God to purify us. Or what's that song? I want to be tried by fire. And God in heaven like, okay, we're going to do that. What does it mean to be purified? And what does it mean to humble yourself, to check your heart? And when we talk about purification, I think a lot of the times we think that it's sexual immorality, and to be pure, we think that it's abstinence from sex. And that is a part from it, but purity is so much bigger. And I want to speak upon the umbrella of purity and why purity is an essential component to salvation and to sanctification. That was the word I was looking for. How purity is a necessary component to sanctification. And the Lord wants us to encounter purity. He wants us to come with pure hearts, with a pure mind, with a pure body, pure soul. And I'm just excited to tell y'all what I've learned. And please listen to this so you don't have to experience it to find out. Sometimes we don't have to go through the fire, through the trials or the tribulations to learn. Sometimes we just got to hear it from someone else to learn. And y'all, I'm telling y'all today so you don't get embarrassed or humbled by God. Because if you don't humble yourself, he's going to do it for you. Amen. 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 But Yeah, sometimes, I just want to talk about thoughts, hello, checking our hearts, yes, and what purity looks like. Here we go. Our finding text, our go-to text. We're just going to use that. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but it's up there. Our go-to text for today is Psalms 119:9. And it says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? If you want to be pure and you've been crying out to God as of recently saying, God, humble me, purify me, take me through the fire. God, I want a fresh revelation. Psalms 119:9 gives us the answer to that. How can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to his word? There is an order to this. It starts with first checking your heart, which is what? Repentance. Second part, pursuing purity, making the deliberate choice to pursue purity. To pursue purity. And then the last crucial final part is to obey God's word. Repent, pursue purity, and obey. This is all three key essential components of living in purification. So I want to go through something that I wish I would have done when I went on that stage that one day and failed miserably. It went in from a prideful heart and prideful intentions. And let me just say this, a heart check is necessary because sometimes we will do things for the sole purpose to feel better about ourselves, think that we're doing something right, for self-righteousness, to make us the bigger, smartest person in the room, when in all actuality, God wants us to wash one another's feet, to bind one another in love. And Christianity was never meant to be a competition. I think a lot of people come into ministry where a lot of people correct, I'll tell you why I'm air quoting, a lot of people correct other people as if it's like this competitive measure. God has never called us to compete with one another. We're running the same exact race and we're all supposed to win. And I really do believe that a lot of the times God won't bless the words that are coming out of our mouth, even if they're right, because our heart is in the wrong place. Because me going up on a stage and talking about God is great, but what's not great is my heart not being in the right place. You could talk about God all day, but if you're doing it for the sole purpose to tear other people down or to make yourself look self-righteous or to put yourself on a pedestal, you are not pleasing God. You are absolutely not pleasing God. What pleases God is being a servant, is servanthood, is sonship, is being under the hand of the Father and binding one another in love, being compassionate, being gentle, not being tolerant, but being gentle with the words that come out of your mouth. And we have to do a heart check because there's a lot of people on TikTok, on social media, on Instagram who will say a lot of things about pastors, ministers, TikTokers, and let alone the body of Christ alone, saying all of these things so they can buff themselves up to be this big Christian who seems to be self-righteous and just so self-worthy. When in all actuality, your heart behind the words that you're saying are deceitful. Absolutely deceitful. I want to come against every lie that says, every lie, Jesus, help me. I want to come against every single lie here today that says you need to be self-righteous. You need to be the smartest person in the room. And I want to come against every lie that says that your assignment is more important than your infatuation with Jesus. I come against that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus and I send it to the pits of hell because we're not dealing with that today. You have to check your heart because when you check your heart, it puts you in a lowly position of humility. And you realize, I see this all the time, and I do this out of love. I can see in the spirit when people don't check their heart and they're not spending time in their secret space because the way that they speak on the internet, the way that they speak to their brothers and sisters, your own family, is out of hatred. It's out of deceit. It's out of self-gratification. A heart posture is easy to see when the tone of a believer's voice is speaking the word out of self-righteousness. This needs to be changed. I heard a pastor say it best. I listen to Jerry Flowers all the time, and I feel like I've talked about that a lot. I love that man, Jerry Flowers. I really do believe that he's one of the people in, at least for sure, the online community, if not in the spiritual realm, in physical realm, who really advocates the Holy Spirit on all elements and teaches true sound doctrine. It teaches it, not just goes up there and pastors, but like truly pastors, truly shepherds, truly teaches. That man, Jerry Flowers, is amazing. But they had a men's seminar. When was that? Like 2-3 weeks ago. And I think it was someone on his team said it the best. And he said, rebuke without relationship is spiritual assault. I'm going to let that sit and I'm going to repeat it. Rebuke without relationship is spiritual assault. We are spiritually assaulting our brothers and sisters because we are rebuking people that we do not have a relationship with. Simply that. Being on the receiving end of that, you know, I know people are going to be people. When you're touching the masses, people are always going to say a little something, right? But I want y'all to know that we cannot be reacting out of a perverted posture. Here's the thing. We don't have a perversion problem. We have a purity problem. God's people don't know how to be pure. We want to persecute, do this all day. But the bigger problem is we don't know how to step into purity. I think we could blame the arguing all day long. But we need to be taught. We need to go into the word of how to be purified, how to be set free from bitterness, how to be set free from pride, and we need to check our hearts. I said all this just gets to the first point. We're going to do what I wish I would have done when I went up on that stage and do a heart check. This is asking all the hard questions to the crevices of your heart. And I wrote down a few, and you could curate these questions yourself. These are just a few that I wrote down. And questions I often ask myself, one of them being, do you love Jesus? Do you love what Jesus could do for you? Or do you actually love him? This is rhetorical. Okay, Jesus, do I actually love you for you right now? Or am I just loving what you could do for me? Where am I really at with God? God, where am I at with you? Am I happy with you? Am I bitter with you? Am I angry with you? 3, what areas do I need refinement? God, reveal the places of my heart that are corrupt, that are perverse, that need healing, to where your voice can come and intercede. Reveal it to me. And am I pursuing God for the right reasons? These are just a few. Ask those questions. Do a heart check. God, reveal everything that is going on in my heart. Why do we do this? Because we need to humble ourselves desperately. The heart check is essential because this is a posture of humbling ourselves and allowing God to lead us to repentance by revealing our sin. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You want to know why it says to humble yourselves? I think a lot of the times we'll be in prayer and just be like, God, humble me, humble me, humble me. But scripture says to humble yourselves. Can I tell you why? Because you want to humble yourself before God humbles you. The way God humbles you, girl, what we see in the Bible, the way that God humbles people, he's saying, humble yourself. That's our job. That's our job. We could humble ourselves by doing a heart check, by not thinking we all this and all that. And I'm speaking myself included. Y'all, you think I come on here thinking I'm all that? No, I'm in my closet being like, dang, God, like, help me, you know? I want to be better. I want to grow. I want to pursue freedom. I want to pursue purity. I want to be sanctified and cleansed each and every single day. But in order to be cleansed, you know, some dirt got to come off. to be clean, that means you had to have been dirty. You get what I'm saying? To be pure, it means that the imperfections gotta come out first. Like, you gotta look at yourself. And don't be afraid. And don't be scared. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of fear and of doubt that is causing the person on the other side of this phone, of this podcast, to think that they can't look at themselves due to shame, doubt, fear. I rebuke those spirits in the mighty name of Jesus, and I send it to the pits of hell. And I place in the heart of you confidence to look at the places of your heart that may be scary and may be hard to look at. I give you confidence. I give you wisdom, clarification, and provision over your heart to look at these things in authority so God can heal it. Because you cannot heal what God does not reveal. Do not be scared to look at the ick. You have to look at the mushy. You have to. I'm sorry. This is life. This is what you said yes to. When you confessed your yes, you simultaneously got enlisted into a race. And this race is hard. You got to look at some stuff that's not going to be easy. You got to look at the condition of your heart. You got to look at your trauma. If you want to heal, you got to look at the tough stuff. And I'm sorry to break this to you just like that, but God wants to empower you. He wants to place authority within inside of you. Y'all, this is what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 28:13 says that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath. Genesis 1:28 says that God has given us all dominion on earth. We are able to step in authority and dominion, to look at the cracked places of our heart and say, no more. God has better for me. He wants more for me. God has so much more in store for me that I am going to elevate, step in the place of authority, and allow his mighty hand to uplift me and uproot me from this demonic and, quite honestly, deep, darkened place. You are no longer enslaved to the dominion of darkness. The Lord wants to uproot you from your place of iniquity, from your place of trauma, from your place to where there was no healing, there was no satisfaction, and from a place to where there was no hope. There is elevation. To do that, we have to look at the condition and come into agreement with God's grace and his mercy and the cross and say, God, when you were up on that cross, when you sent your son to be on that cross, my trauma died with it. My iniquities died with it. The bad parts of me, unrighteousness, died with it. So now that I know that because of what you did for me was permanent and it was victorious, I'm going to touch and agree with that victory and check my heart, give those impurities to you, and elevate in authority. Because God, you have already won. Fight from a place of victory. Check your heart. Check your heart. You have to check your heart in order to win. Because a lot of people think that they're winning, but they're losing because they're not looking at themselves. You got to look within. You got to surrender some things to the Lord. There's some things you can't keep with you. There's some things that got to go. Is it hard to believe that God doesn't want you to suffer with your trauma for the rest of your life? Girlie, let it go. God wants bigger and better for you. We have to touch and agree. Easier said than done. Ask God to give you the grace, to give you the love, and give you the compassion that you need to look at your trauma, to look at your little girl or boy of yours and saying, I see you, I hear you, I love you, but we cannot be here no more because God is wanting to take you to a better place. I promise it. But he can't take you there if you don't recognize where you're at right now. Because a lot of you guys are stuck in trauma. And it's actually Delulu land. A lot of you guys are in Delulu world, but you're actually stuck in your trauma and masking it with porn, masturbation, drinking, hanging out with friends, gossiping, social media, whatever it may be. Get out of Delulu land. Look at the season you're in and say, God, I want better. Check me. Check me. Check me. And after your heart's checked, you now make the decision to pursue purity. That God, the things that were operating in my heart, I'm going to take my situation for an example. That pride that was lingering inside of me and then that manifested that day when I try to go up there and say a little something. I said, God, I don't want this. I'm coming into agreement. We're pursuing your word. We're pursuing freedom. We're pursuing purity. And I'm giving you my pride. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from it. And I agree to stepping into purification. So first step, repent. Look at the condition of your heart. Check your heart and repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to change your mind. And you can't change your mind if you don't even know what you're agreeing to right now. Look at the state of your mind. This is where I'm at. Bet. Let's change it. God, I want to step into your will. I don't want to step in mine no more. God, I want to know the rhythms of your heart. God, I want to be right next to you. I want to fulfill your will. I want to step into the promised land. That's what the Lord wants for us. So after you check your heart, it's time to pursue purity. It's time to make the decision of, okay, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to go about my old ways. I'm all about the new. And what purity means, and I kind of talked about this a little earlier, it's not just abstinence. It's purification. The definition of it, to be purified, is freedom from immorality. I feel like that changes the trajectory of what we're learning right now. Purity isn't abstinence. It's freedom. It's freedom from all immorality. Purity is intentionally pursuing the things of God so you could obtain freedom in Him. That's what purity is. Purity says that you're free. Purity says that you're not wearing chains as an accessory no more. Purity is saying that you are free. And it says all throughout scripture, in Romans 8, Colossians, I think it's 1:3 or chapter 3, that we are set free from the dominion of darkness, that we are no longer slaves to fear. Can I talk about something real quick too? Oh, praise God that I put this in my notes. I want to talk about what purity is not. Purity is not avoiding sin. Purity is pursuing Christ. There's a difference between avoiding and pursuit. Let me say it like this. When it comes to avoiding something, a lot of the times we're so focused on what we need to avoid that we're so not focused on what we need to pursue. And I'm not saying be ignorant to avoidance, but sometimes we're so focused on the adversary, on the enemy, on our own flesh, on temptation, that our very focus on that gets in the way of our focus on God. So imagine this. This is the best way I could put it. Imagine you're in a race. I used to love watching the 100 when I was doing track. I used to love watch people run it. When you're running track, one thing the coach would always say, well, I would practice for it. I would never really run it for real. But one thing that the coach would always say is look forward when you run. Don't look in the lanes right next to you. Where am I going with this? In your lane, you got things that are trying to outrun you. Temptations, trauma, trials, tribulations, fire. These things are running with you and they're trying to outrun you. Here's the thing. You got the victory at the end. You're running this race already knowing that you're victorious, okay? What avoiding sin looks like is running this race, looking side to side, looking at your competitors, running. And you might get off track because you're so focused on the intimidation of who you're running against rather than keeping your eyes on the prize, which is at the end of the finish line, which is Jesus. So avoiding sin and pursuing Christ are two completely different things. This is why peripheral vision is so important, because I have the ability to look straight forward, but also the ability to see what's aside from me all the way around. Okay. Do we understand?
Sorry.
I'm a little congested. I'm over being sick, so I'm trying to. But I say all this to say that we must look to God beyond for what He could just do for us, right? We must look to God way beyond what He could do for us. we must pursue Christ because one, we adore him, and two, we believe that he's the full embodiment of love. Jesus. We must pursue Christ to gain him as the prize, not just the absence of our problems. I think we forget that. We try so hard to just get rid of our problems to where we're so focused on getting rid of them that we forget the prize that we're winning, which is Christ. Like, purity is pursuing him. It's freedom from these things that are trying to outrun you. And here's a sick and twisted lie from the enemy and tactic is that when you get free from something, the enemy will try to put in your mind, how do I want to explain this? Holy Spirit, please help me. When God calls you to be free from something, the enemy is trying to shift your focus on trying to avoid it so much and trying to bring up the temptation so much that it takes your focus off of God. For an example, people who struggle with lust or porn. Maybe you haven't watched it for 2 years, but your mind's going, I can't watch porn, I can't watch porn, I can't watch porn, I can't watch porn. That's all that's going on through your brain. I need to avoid it. 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 When your brain could be going, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus is so good. Jesus, you're so beautiful. Jesus, I love our intimacy. Jesus, you're so amazing. Jesus, you're so gracious. Do you see the language shift? There's a difference between avoidance and there's a difference between pursuit. Pursue freedom by pursuing Christ. Good stuff. When we talk about pursuit, understanding that it's freedom. Freedom isn't always something that, freedom isn't always what it seems, okay? We have our version of freedom, but God, as it says all throughout scripture, his ways are not our ways. And God has a different way when it comes to freedom at times. When I think of freedom, the first thing I think of is the Israelites. I feel like that's the first thing everybody thinks of when you think of God setting his people free. I think of the Israelites because these people were enslaved. Pharaoh hated them. They were forced into brutal labor. Pharaoh even went ahead and started killing all the boys up to age, like literally up until the age of 2, I believe, but like infants, the boys. He started literally killing these little boys and enforcing these people into labor. And Israel cried out to God and God answered. And Moses was sent and protected so he could lead God's people out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. A people that was designed to be free. But here's the thing, because they were indulged in their own thinking and their selfish ambition, it got in the way of them inheriting the promised land. There is something so special we need to learn about what the Israelites did, because God, well, this is what happened. Israel cried out to God. God responded, delivered them out of Egypt. And the people that God designed to be free, the same people got in their own way of the promise because they couldn't trust God. They relied on their own thinking. They leaned on their own understanding. And when it comes to pursuing purity and encountering freedom, we cannot lean on our own understanding. We have to trust in the provision and of the grace and the mercy and the sovereignty of God, of his steadfast love, that he loves us, that he wants the best for us, that he is our victor, and that he is our ultimate provider. So when it came to these Israelites, God intends and divinely plans for them to be free. But yet they got in their own way. I would hate, because here's the thing. Jesus intends for all of us to be free, and it already happened because of the cross. I would hate, and yes, I'm using the word hate. I would hate for your blessing to not come into fruition because you had the inability to check your own heart, get into stubbornness, and from that, you got in the way of your own blessing. This is divine that someone's hearing this right now, because some people have been so stubborn, let alone maybe narcissistic, of your own thinking, your own ways, trusting yourself, to where the thing that God has promised you has not come yet, or hasn't come at all because you just self-destructed your own blessing. This isn't what God wants at all. I want to talk about how the Israelites were supposed to get the promised land in 11 days rather than 40 years, because we know that the Israelites went into the wilderness for 40 years. They were supposed to get this promised land in 11 days. Basically what had happened was, well, one, Moses was supposed to take them into the promised land and that didn't happen. That's a different story. But the mantle was then placed onto Joshua, and Joshua was the one who ended up, he got the baton, carried it out, and pretty much Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan, which is where God declared to be the promised land. Okay. And so these 12 spies go, I'm just going to read from Numbers 13, 31 through 32. And it says, or actually I lied. I want to correct myself real quick. I don't believe in this time frame, this is where Moses messed up. This is before. After this. Okay. Yeah. Scratch that. Moses wasn't able to lead the people into the promised land after this. Just wanted to correct myself. I said before, so I wanted to check myself right there. But Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, which is where God declared to be the promised land. I'm picking up Numbers 13, 31 through 32, and then jumping to chapter 14. So, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." This is basically their consensus of the land of Canaan. The 12 spies were sent out, and this is what their conclusion was. We can't attack them. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size." Jump to chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, skipping 5, 6 through 9. "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of," I can't pronounce this man's name for the life of me, Jephunneh? We're just going to say that. "Who were among those who had explored the land and their cloths, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" What is Joshua saying in this? So 12 spies were sent out, and Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that believed in the provision of God and believed in the promise of God of, hey, this is the land we're supposed to step into, and we're stepping into the will, and we're trusting the Lord with this. The other 10 spies responded out of fear. How many times do we delay our own blessings because we're responding to new seasons out of fear? You were supposed to walk through that door. You were supposed to get that new job. God was going to increase your finances this year, but yet it wasn't going to fall into your lap because you responded out of fear instead of out of trust, instead of faithfulness. God wanted to elevate you, but because of the spirit of fear, you denied your own blessing. And look at God's response to these people, because here's the thing, freedom isn't always the way that we plan it out to be. These people escaped, God gave them a way from escape from Egypt, and they're moaning and groaning and grumbling, saying, "God, we don't like this. It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt." But they're hating the process, not knowing that they're going into the promise. Jesus, you have to go through the process in order to receive the promise. Point blank period, baby. That's how it works. This is what it looks like. The Israelites hated the process so much that they wanted to go back to the chains when there was a promise right in front of them. How does the Lord respond to this? The Lord said to Moses, and I'm picking up in chapter 14, verse 26 through 32. The Lord had said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as I surely live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who is counted in the census, who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of..." Not going to say his name again because I was having a hard time. "And Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them into enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall into the wilderness." If you don't want to accept the glory of God and you're not going to trust his provision, he's going to let you lean on your own understanding. Humble yourselves before the Lord humbles you. Check your heart before God checks you. Check it. They got in the way of their own promise because they pursued their own thinking rather than pursuing the faithfulness of the Lord. They were enslaving themselves due to their disbelief in what God could do. How many times do we do that? How many times has God destined us to step into a new season, a new job, a new calling, a new relationship, a new anointing, but yet because there is disbelief and distrust, we delay our own blessings? That's exactly what the Israelites did. They weren't able to receive the promised land because they were so consumed in their own thinking that they weren't able to make the deliberate choice to just believe in God. They were right there to the promise. They were 11 days away, but yet they were smacked with 40 years of wilderness experience. They were 11 days away of inheriting the promise. And then they were suddenly stuck in 40 years of the wilderness. Why? Because they disbelieved God. Their own thinking got in the way. They were prideful. They failed to check their hearts. They didn't lean on the Lord. When you pursue purity, when you're stepping into freedom, you have to trust in the Lord. And how can we trust in him? We obey. We read his word. We let the word consume us. The word is our food. It fills us up. Man shall not rely on bread alone, for it is the word of the Lord who sustains us. Jesus. Psalms 119:9. How can a young person stay on a path of purity? We know that purity means freedom. How can a young person stay on the path of freedom? If you want to be free, what does it say? By living according to your word, God. If you want to be pure, if you want to be free, if you want to step into the things of the Lord, obey God's word. The Israelites were able to inherit the promised land because they were not obedient. Because disbelief is disobedience. Unfaithfulness is disobedience. Leaning on your own understanding is disobedience. You want to be free? You want to be purified? Obey. Meditate on the word and obey. Let it seep down to the deep crevices of your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you. Father God, I want to elevate. I want to do the things of you, but I can't live with the condition of my heart. Because that's not going to help me get to where you want me to get to. Give your fleshly desires to the Lord and allow his voice and his word to change you. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Going to say that one more time. 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence of God." What is reverence? The fear of the Lord. What does reverence mean? To have a respect for God. Since we have these promises, God has promised us something. Because of the promise, let me take off everything ill-fitting. Oh my gosh. Let me take off everything ill-fitting. Let me take off every ounce of pride, every ounce of doubt, every ounce of fear. So nothing can contaminate my body and spirit. that I may go perfecting holiness, which is to be set apart, out of the reverence, out of the respect I have for God. It's all out of reverence. Where are you at with God? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want him? Not even it. How bad do you want him? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If you want to see him, get pure. A lot of you guys are still staying in iniquity, asking God to show him, to show you his glory. But he's saying, I'm not showing you myself because you're not pursuing purity. God can only bless your mess for too long. God wants to turn your mess into a message. We can't be enslaved by our own iniquities, by our own thinking. We have to check our hearts, pursue purity, and obey the word of the Lord. What does that look like really fast? Say I got a prideful issue. This is just kind of what I'm picking from the story earlier. Say I'm operating out of pride. I get humbled. Something happens to where I realize, oh, dang, I might be a little prideful. God, can you show me every area of my heart that is prideful, where I need refinement, and what my intentions are? God reveals it. Jesus, thank you for revealing it. I turn my mind away from these things. I confess, repent, and renounce the spirit of pride in the mighty name of Jesus. I give it under your hand. I come to your feet. I ask you for you to forgive me, Jesus. And as I come in repentance, I ask that you unroot me from my iniquities, and you give me the strength to not look back at pride. And God, I make the choice to pursue purity. Then to pursue purity, what does that look like? Obeying your word, reading the word, letting it soak in. Okay, God, I'm going to wake up every day, and my first hour I'm going to give to you. The first hour, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to understand it. Not just read it, but understand it. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue you just like how you pursued me. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to write. I'm going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to pray for my family, my friends. I'm going to seek your presence, not just so you could do something for me, but because I love you. And God, based off of what you tell me, I'm going to obey it. Because I know that you're good, and I know that you're almighty and powerful, but most importantly, that you're filled and you're the full embodiment of love. So I am going to obey you, but most importantly, I'm going to trust you, knowing that my obedience will sustain me, because your word always deems itself to be true. That's what that looks like. You want to be purified? Check your heart. Pursue purity, which means to pursue freedom, and obey the word of the Lord. That's it. That's it. Oh, God was so here today. Jesus. God was so here. God was so here. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just thank Jesus for a moment? Thank you, Jesus, that you came here today and you spoke to your children, that you made an impression on our hearts, that you have given us the strength to look at the condition of our hearts, that you have reminded us to repent and to seek your presence above all things. Jesus, show us how we could be more infatuated with your presence than we are with the promise. Let us seek your presence every single day, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I seal this prayer, and I seal every word that has been spoken on this divine appointment of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. God is good. God is real good. God is so good. I hope this blessed y'all. It blessed me even just talking about it. And I can't wait to watch it back and to listen. Also, side note, let me know if you guys like this setup more. I brought the old couch back. I'm in my guest bedroom. Let me know if you guys like it in here, if it's like comfy, cozy, gives kind of like the old vibes, because I'll make this my permanent spot if you guys like it. But please let me know, because I want it to be as comfortable, cozy as possible. So let me know what you guys think. yeah, a few announcements. If you need a prayer request, there's a link down below. If you're listening on podcast, you can go on Save Not Soft Podcast on my Instagram, and in the bio, there is a way for you to reach out and ask for prayer. If you got saved, if you gave your life to Jesus in any of these episodes, there's another link for that. And you also feel, if you also feel led to tithe, there's a link under this video and also a link in my link tree, again, in my Instagram, if you feel led to tithe. Thank you again for everyone who shopped the merchandise. More merch will be dropping soon. I don't know if I will be releasing those specific tees again. There was so much that just happened in that drop. That will be a sermon I preach one day. But as of right now, we're learning and we're doing some things. It was great for the first launch, okay? For never ever doing this to doing it the way that I did. Hey, I did pretty good for the circumstances that we're given. So more stuff is coming. I'm working with some really cool people right now, and I can't wait to get some stuff out to you guys. But yeah, God is good all the time. Go in favor. Go blessed. Spend some time in the Word. Seek God's presence. And just know that He's rooting for you. He wants to see you win. I want to see you win. But this week, pursue purity. Check your heart. Seek freedom. God wants better for you. You have the ability to touch and agree with it. I encourage you and I challenge you to step into purity. It's a step in confidence this week. I love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in today. And with that being said, be blessed, not stressed. Okay? In the mighty name. I'll see you guys soon. Love you guys.